You're listening to Connect Communities Podcast, recorded live in Stamford, Connecticut. If you'd like to know more about our community, stop by our website at www.connectcommunity.tv. Enjoy the message.
On to our series that we're starting today, Soul Rehab. We're beginning today, and the focus of this series really is as we embark in a new year, as you turn the page on the calendar, what does it mean for you to turn the page on the calendar? What does it mean for you to begin a new year? And I feel like after what we went through in 2020, whether you've had a great year in 2020 privately, personally, all of us, or not, all of us felt the effects of 2020, haven't we? The isolation, the everything that went on with politics and social unrest and things that came out about, you know, society that we're still dealing with. And how can you engage 2021? Not ignoring all the problems that we need to face and solve as a society, but still stepping into a new year full of faith, full of God, knowing that this will be a year that God is going to do something special in your life. So that's what this series is about. That's what we're going to be talking about next week. We're going to be sitting together. It's going to be an online only, but I encourage you to log in. And today I want to focus on this one thing. I want to start the series talking to you about courage. The importance of courage. Now, do you remember the first time you had to be courageous in your life? Maybe you were a little person, and you had to be courageous. I remember when I had to first be courageous. I was a kid. I was a little child in my home. I grew up in a three-story building in Brazil. And the first level was my dad's ice cream factory. That's right. Second level was the store and the offices, the storefront, because we lived in like a downhill, so the front was actually second level, and then at the, yeah, whatever. So, factory, store, and offices, and then the third level is our, it was our home. And the answer is yes, I had ice cream every single day growing up, if you're wondering. And yes, it was delicious, straight from the fountain, straight from the machine. It was awesome. But that's not the thing that I had to have courage for, okay? That's not the story of courage. What took courage is that one day, I am in one of our rooms in the house, and it had a balcony. So, if you're watching, some people might be listening. So I was in the balcony, and I wanted to get into the room next door, but the room was locked from the inside. One of my brothers had the key. They didn't want to give it to me, and I'm like, I got to get in the room. And then I was less than 10 years old. I don't remember how old I was, but to defy them, I'm in the balcony, right? So this room that I was in shared a balcony with the other room, but there was a dividing wall. And then it tipped, like in hotels, when you go to hotels and there's like two balconies and there's a wall dividing it. So, but we didn't have like a banister or a railing. We had a half wall, like about 6 inches thick. And I thought, this is a great idea. The wall is like straight down, three stories, right? I could see our neighbor's backyard down there. I was like, I could stand on this wall and walk into that room. And that way I can get in the room and open the door from the inside. Brilliant idea. And so I did that. I actually got in, you know, like I'm some kind of James Bond or Ethan Hunt, right? Like on a mission. And I got on the wall, held the dividing wall, I got on the thing, I held the dividing wall and walked across it like a crazy person and jumped inside. And you know when you feel like that thing on your belly, like, whoa, this was not good. You shouldn't have done that. But I'm sad to report that I did it a few times later, and then I got caught, and then we had a family reunion, and there was an intervention, and I couldn't do that anymore. Something about splat on the ground, something. I don't know what's your story. You might have a story where you had to be courageous. You know, maybe you jumped off a rock onto a lake, right? Maybe it was a skateboard maneuver. Maybe you got into a fist fight. Maybe you sneaked out of the house. By the way, we have kids here. Kids, none of these are good ideas, okay? Don't do any of this, all right? If there are kids watching, please don't do it. It's bad. But what you might realize is that even in that season of life, those were the things that shaped your idea of courage. Your idea of courage probably is still connected. It's something risky and thrilling and probably a little bit stupid, right? To have courage to do something. But how about now? How about today? After all you've been through, how do you define courage? What does it mean for you to be courageous? Now, if you know the story in the Bible, if you know the Old Testament story about the people of Israel, you know that they were enslaved in Egypt. And when they cried out to God for liberation, God sent him Moses. Now, Moses became their liberator. He negotiated with Pharaoh on behalf of God, and then Israel was spent 40 years in the desert, right? So all right there in Exodus. Now, here's some context for you to understand why God was so adamant and so intense about Israel's liberation. See, for 400 years before Moses, Abraham's great-grandson, Joseph, was the man used to lead Egypt into becoming a superpower. If it wasn't for Joseph, Abraham's great-grandson, Egypt would have been along with the other countries who succumbed to one of the biggest famine at that time. But because God used Joseph, a promise fulfilled. Remember, God promised Abraham that through his seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And that's what happened through Joseph. Joseph was already fulfilling that promise because with his wisdom, with the revelation that God gave him, Egypt was able to bless every other nation that went through a famine. And because of that famine, Israel, Joseph's dad, and his kids moved with their whole family into Egypt, 70 of them. If you know the story, 400 years go by. But they left the land of Canaan. Jacob left the land of Canaan with his kids. And then years go by and Egypt turns on the people of Israel, ends up enslaving them. And they cry out to God. God sends Moses. And Moses comes in and leads Israel through the desert. So that's the story in a nutshell. But for the better part of those 40 years that they were in the desert, there was a man that walked with Joseph. He was called Moses' assistant. He was with Moses on Mount Sinai when the glory of God descended. He was with Moses when the people revolted against Moses and wanted to kill Moses. He was with Moses when Moses was in the tent of the meeting outside of the encampment and God's presence would come and speak with Moses. He was with Moses when they fought enemies. He was actually in the battleground fighting as well. He saw the highs and the lows, the peaks and the valleys. He saw what it meant to lead a people like the people of Israel through the desert. His name was Joshua. And when Moses died, God told Joshua, "Joshua, I want you in charge now. I want you to take the helm. I want you to be my guy. I want you to be the main one. I want you to take Moses' place." Now we read the story, and now after we know the story, because we read it and we learn it in church, right? If you grew up in church, you probably know the story. You've heard it several times. If this is new to you and you read it, you will look at it and you go like, yeah, it's obvious. Like, guy's amazing. He's a warrior. He's like just conquering everybody. But when Moses commissioned Joshua, when God called Joshua, nothing had happened yet. He was still Moses' assistant. Joshua knew the risks. He knew that if he made a mistake big enough, they would have him killed. He knew that if God's presence wasn't with him, there's no way that he could fight all the enemies. Now, can you imagine Joshua's hesitation? Can you imagine what he was up against? Can you imagine the anxiety in his heart and his soul? The promised land, Canaan, the land that their forefathers had come out of, had been occupied by giants now. And not a single plot of land had yet been conquered when God called them. This is what Moses told Joshua. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 7 and 8. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all of Israel, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers and to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." Two things happen here. First, God gave Joshua a bold plan. We see that in Joshua chapter 1 as well. A bold plan. He describes what he's going to do through him. He gave him a vision. And the second thing that happened here is that Moses tells Joshua in this scripture to be strong and courageous. And later in Joshua chapter 1, God repeats these two words, not once, not twice, but three times. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Notice, Joshua received the plan. That's God's part. And then God gave him counsel on how he should maintain his soul. Joshua's part was the maintenance of his soul. Joshua's part was his posture, how he should stand. You must remain strong. You must remain courageous. And I think the same principle applies to you and me. I think the same principle applies to the transition we're going on right now. See, God has given you a big vision. He's given you a plan. You have an assignment from heaven on this earth. And you have an individual assignment. God has an individual assignment for you. It has to do with your talents. It has to do with your gifts. It has to do with the things you like. It has to do with your abilities. And you might be in it right now in your profession. That's your assignment on this earth, to make people's lives better, to enrich people's lives. And we have a common assignment as the body of Christ, as people who follow God. We have a common assignment. Every child of God, whether they realize it or not, has been called to what the Apostle Paul calls the ministry of reconciliation. Everybody is called to this. Whether you're a Christian or not, whether everyone who is a child of God, which is every human being, is called to this ministry, the ministry of reconciliation, which means this: with your life and your testimony and your faith, you reconcile people to God. Now, most people are not aware of this assignment, but that is our assignment. Our common assignment as human beings is to constantly reconcile people to God, constantly connect people to God. So if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, you know this. You know that this is Jesus' commission for you. Jesus' commission is not only that you may come and see, but it's that you may go and share. That's what he wants you to do. But in either case, that has to do with what God has called you to do. That has to do with his plan, just like with Moses. He gives you a vision, he gives you abilities, he gives you the process, and he says, "This is what I'm going to do through you." And you have that image in your heart, and you receive it. And I don't think that in 2021, that's the challenge. I don't think that's the big mystery in 2021. I think most people, when I talk to you, when we text, when I hear you, and I see you here today, I'm pretty sure that you have a picture of what you want to do. You have a picture of what you want your life to look like. You have desires. You have in your heart, "Man, I wish I could use my ability for this. I wish I could connect to that. I wish that my career would walk this way." And God probably gave you an idea for business, for development, for teaching. Whatever your capacity is in, whatever realm it is in, you probably have. You know what you need to do, from the biggest things to the smallest. I think most of us know The steps that we need to take, the next steps, maybe it's a class, maybe it's taking better care of yourself, maybe it's building your career, maybe it's helping a family member, maybe it's growing in your faith, maybe it's sharing Christ with your family. You know you have to do that this year. You know that you got to share your faith with your family. Maybe it's rebuilding your marriage. 2020 took a beating on your marriage and you got to rebuild it. Maybe it's ending toxic relationships. Every time you get to talk to that person, you feel down. You feel like they're, you know, and you know that you got to transition. You know you have a next step. But does your soul have the motivation? Does your soul have the stamina? Does your soul have even the faith to take that next step? Is your soul in a place right now where you can do it? See, the question we draw from Joshua's transition that can very much relate to this crazy transition we're in from 2020 to 2021 is this. How is your soul? How is your soul? How do you find yourself in your soul, really? I'm not talking about pretend, right? How are you doing? I'm good. I'm really good. I'm doing fine. I'm great. How's your soul? See, we left 2020 behind. We turned the page. A year of struggles, a year of division, a year of fights, a year of factions. And we want the new. We want the promised land. We want to leave the desert behind. We want to go into our promised land, man. Just like Joshua, we want to take this step. And some of us can even see it. We can see it, the peace. We can see harmony. We can see unity. It's there. It's so close. We can see freedom. We can see progress. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. I'm talking about what God wants to do in your life. And my question is your soul fit to fight? Is your soul in a place right now where you're ready to take that step and begin to conquer the promised land? How can you make sure that your life and your household can move forward from whatever else is going on in the world? How can you make sure that in your household, in your life, you can continue to take steps regardless of what's surrounding you? How do you move forward toward God's promised land? One answer I have for you today. One thing is this. There might be many for you, but one thing is this. Courage. You need courage in your soul. We need courage. And some of you, you've lost your courage a little bit. Your courage was diminished. And I want to share three areas in your life that you can have courage in 2021. First one is this, if you're taking notes. Have the courage to fight. Have the courage to fight. See, you can't conquer your promised land without fighting the giants in it. It's just not going to happen. There might be giants in your promised land. But if God is calling you there, He's giving you the strength to fight and to conquer. See, some of you, you're like, JD, I'm fighting. But could it be that you're fighting the wrong fight? You might be fighting, but maybe it's the wrong thing. Maybe you're fighting with your company, fighting with your boss. Maybe you're fighting with your spouse and you're fighting with your children. You're fighting with the television, you're yelling at newscast hosts. Maybe you're fighting with strangers on social media. You know? Fighting the wrong fight. And you're wasting your energy fighting that wrong fight. Wasting your energy worrying about the wrong things. Wasting your energy engaging with the wrong fight. My plea to you is this. Don't find yourself further into the desert this year because you're fighting the wrong fight. Don't find yourself away from the promised land. Fight toward your promised land. Fight toward the promises of God in your heart. Scripture talks to us and tells us about the good fight of faith. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 8
through 12. It says this: "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. But as for you, O men of God, as for you, O woman of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you were made, and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." See, faith takes courage. It takes courage to have faith. And the right fight for you, the right fight for me, is the good fight of faith. Has God given you a vision for your life in 2021? Have you gotten a picture of what you want your life to look like according to God's will? Has God given you a vision for your marriage, for your relationships? Has God given you a vision for your finances? Has God given you a vision of freedom from your anxiety, freedom from your addiction, freedom from depression? Has He painted a picture in your mind that you can see and you can imagine? Man, can you see it through the eyes of faith? Can you see it? Can you see you turning those things around by faith? Can you see your marriage being healthy? Can you see your finances being healthy, enough for you to be generous and help others? Can you see you living in peace, full freedom? Can you see yourself? Then let me encourage you with this. Have the courage to fight. Have the courage to take that next step and fight. Don't be so hungry for promotion and money that you lose your integrity. Don't be so set in your ways that you ruin your relationships and you ruin your marriage. Don't give your heart to worry. Don't give your heart to darkness. Don't give your eyes to darkness. See, it's not enough to have a vision of faith. You must have a courage to fight for it, to make the investments. How do you do that? How do you have the courage to fight? It's you do what the Scriptures just told us. You pursue righteousness. You pursue godliness. You pursue faith. You pursue love. You pursue steadfastness, which means consistency, which means endurance. You pursue gentleness. And then we take hold of what's eternal. This is very important. A great way for you to prioritize things in 2021. Is this temporal or is this eternal? In other words, is this going to last? Or is this something that a year from now I'm not even going to care about? Then if I'm not going to care about this in 2022, why am I going to prioritize it and make it more important than the relationships, the people, the things that actually matter and will last forever in my life? I'm going to fight for the things that matter. I'm going to fight for the things that are really important. I'm going to fight for the things that God has called me to. Second thing, if you're taking notes, is this. Have the courage in 2021 to be you. Have the courage to be you. See, when God chose Moses to lead the people out of the land of Egypt into the desert, He didn't pick him by chance. Moses didn't just happen to be walking by a burning bush. And God was like, eeny, meeny, miny, Moses. I just came up with that. I'm going to trademark it. Moses had been living in the desert for 40 years. He was a desert man. He knew how to raise cattle in the desert. He knew how to find pasture in the desert. Pasture in the desert, yeah, they have ways. He knew how to raise kids in the desert. He lived in the desert for 40 years. Not only that, Moses ended up in the desert because he loved the Hebrew people. He loved the Israelites. He was one of them, even though he was raised in the palace. He loved them so much, he picked a fight that cost him his lifestyle. And that's why he was in the desert.
God picked him on purpose. But while Moses was leading the people through the desert, Joshua was fighting battles. And he was scoping and he was spying on the promised land. See, Joshua was not only acquiring leadership skills from Moses, but his heart was set toward the promised land. God was building him with a vision for life post-desert. And as great as Moses was, God said, Moses, you're not the man for the job, buddy. You've done your part. You're not going into the promised land. You did your part and you did it well. Joshua, that's the man for the job. That's who is going to lead people into the promised land. Now, Joshua had to have the courage to lead. He had to have the courage to step up to that new assignment, to embrace the vision and the call and the plan of God. But he had to do it not like a mini Moses, a desert leader. No. He had to step up by being who he was called to be, as Joshua, the warrior, the conqueror. And God has an assignment for you. For you. He has an assignment that is unlike anyone else's assignment. And it's designed for you. Now, people around you might have expectations of you. Your family might have expectations of you. People who don't have the vision that God has put in your heart might have expectations on you, and they might not understand what's going on. Members of your family might have opinions. Friends might have opinions. But remember this, God has the plan. He has the vision, and he has given you that assignment. Will you have the courage in 2021 to be who God has called you to be you? And the third one, related to this one, is this. In 2021, may we have the courage to be Christ-like, to seek to be Christ-like. This is very important. See, our world is quickly dividing itself into tribes, and you see it happening. And it's so happened, it's so fast that we don't really know what to do about it, right? There are political tribes, there are ideological tribes, there are gender tribes, and they're dividing everybody into racial tribes, and everybody's being divided into tribes. And as the result, what's happening is this: individuals are losing their identity. People are losing their individual identity. You know why? Because the moment you are identified by as a tribe, a member of a tribe, it's easy to get lost in the crowd. You're just another one. You're just another person in that group. Now, what happens when that is intense, and the way that's been happening nowadays, what happens is that there's a clash between existence and belonging. We all we were designed to exist, to have a purpose, a purpose on this earth. And we have a desire to belong. But what happens when your belonging costs your existence? What happens when your belonging clashes with your existence? See, we all want to belong. We want to belong. That's why churches are successful, and that's why gangs are successful. Because it's better to belong to something than to belong to nothing. It's true. Studies have been done on that. But if your belonging costs your existence, there's a crisis of identity. That's what happens. There's a crisis of identity. And I think that's one of the reasons why group identity is so prevalent nowadays. And I bring in this up for a reason. Because, see, people can see more clearly the identity of a group than the identity of an individual, especially if you don't know who you are. If you don't know who you are, you can just attach yourself to the group, and I'm one of these guys. But you lose yourself in it. And even more destructive than that is when you lose yourself and you lose your identity simply to please others. There's this American psychologist who wrote an amazing book 70 years ago, and this is what he wrote. We define vanity and narcissism, Rollo May is his name. We define vanity and narcissism as the compulsive need to be praised, to be liked, For this, people give up their courage. He explains, vanity and narcissism undermine one's courage. For one then fights for someone else's conviction rather than one's own. And how much of this mindset has plagued our society in the past 10 to 20 years? The need to be liked. The need to be praised. The need to be a hero. I read something probably 5 years ago I think I'm going to lowball that. I don't remember specifically, but I think it's something like 40%, maybe 60% of high schoolers think that they're going to be famous one day. There is a need to be famous, to go viral. There's a need. I see it in our kids. Like they look at YouTube and YouTubers, and it's like being famous is a drive, is a goal. People want to be famous. They want to be known. They want to be liked. But what happens when that desire to be liked and to be praised costs your courage? What happens when you join a group and it costs your identity? It costs who you are. Think about your actions. Think about your posts. Think about your conversations. And have an introspective moment right now. How much of this has been true to a degree in your life? In the past year, maybe the past 10 years, if you're with me in this journey. How much need for praise and approval? The need for praise and approval eroded maybe your courage. Maybe you wanted to do something, take a step towards something. But the people you trusted didn't approve of it because they couldn't see it the way you saw it, and then you gave up on it. Courage took a step back. I want to encourage you today to have the courage to be who God has called you to be. And that means to be different, to be Christ-like. I see that happening all the time in our world, and it affects all of us. It affects me as a pastor too. Let me just give you the past year has been difficult to lead in 2020. It's difficult. When we are a community of everybody, right? Everybody, every color, every background. We have immigrants, we have Americans, we have like people who have been in Stanford for years, generations past, and we have people who just arrived. And I love our community. I love those who are watching. Like, we love everybody. And when the climate last year began so intense, it started to get so intense, like, it's difficult to lead. It was probably one of the most difficult times, the most difficult time for sure in our leadership career. They're like, how do you just embrace and hug and show God's love and cut through all the noise and everything that's going on? And it's so loud. And, you know, you feel like the fabric of our society is just dismantling and things are happening everywhere. And how can you just break through with God's voice? And I talked to several friends and back and forth, and we're all praying and trying to lead our churches better. A lot of friends are pastors. Some of them are coaches and some of them are leaders that I talked to. And a lot of them has a lot of great things to say. And, you know, because of my background, some of you know I wasn't born in this country. I was born in Brazil. And I was told by multiple people to kind of distance myself from my German background, because my family tree root is German. And, you know, being born in Brazil, that means I'm Latin. I was born in a Latin country, so I'm Latin. But my blood is German, so I'm also Caucasian. So I it's fun because I get to pick. You know, I get to. And then my brother swears that our German family is from a Jewish bloodline. So, man, like, I can't prove that. I don't know. But he said he did the research, and he swears. And so when I came to the United States, our family came, Alini and I. You know, we came because of a calling. People come for all sorts of reasons, and 99% of them are good. People come because they want to improve their lives. They want to be part of something awesome, and that's what America is about. But we came because we felt called to ministry here. Like, our life was good in Brazil. Like, we didn't have anything pressing. Our family life, our relationships. We are fortunate. We're blessed. We're privileged to grow in families that love us. But when when that transition happened, it was strictly from a God call. Like, God really called us out of our city to move to the United States. So when we did that, because of that call, we embraced it fully. Like, this land is my land, and from California to, you know, it's my land. To the New York, you know this song. You know the thing. And I conditioned my heart to embrace it, to love it. And we build our lives here and as contributing members of society to build it, to thrive it, to improve. And then last year, because of the social unrest, like I said, I was told, you know what? This is what you need to do. You need to cling to your Latin roots and just kind of like take a step away from all the other things that you're a part of, like in your life, because that might be more appealing to people who are now suffering in this climate. And I understand their heart was good, and you know, these are smart people. They have a good intention and a good heart. But in my heart, just, I don't know. I just had in my heart, like, how about no? How about none of that? How about not to all of the above? How about I'm a child of God? How about you're a child of God? How about we're citizens of heaven, huh? How about those who are in Christ are a new creation? The old is gone. The new has come. How about there is no male nor female, nor slave nor free? How about the truth of the scripture? How about we're Christ-like? How about we're brothers and sisters, and we're here to see God's kingdom come, and we're all in God's presence? How about us choosing not to be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the constant renewal of our mind to discover the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God? How about we are followers of Christ first and foremost, and we love one another like He loved His church? How about that? How about that? See, I don't want to be a white Christian. I don't want to be a Latin Christian. I don't want to be a German Shepherd either. I don't want to be that. I know, it's cheesy. My wife is laughing at me, guys. She's not laughing with me. She's laughing at me. I know that. See, the reason why this is important: if you decided to follow Christ, you're a Christian first. You're a Christian first, first and foremost. You follow Christ, and that shapes everything you do. If I judge you differently because of the color of your skin, I'm not following Christ. If I judge you differently or see myself superior to you because of your political inclinations, I'm not following Christ. Let me encourage you today to see people the way Christ sees them. To see your fellow citizens, to see immigrants, to see people from all backgrounds the way Christ sees them. Not the way the world sees them, trying to group everybody against each other, trying to make everybody fight against each other, divide. No. How about we are children of God? Have the courage to be Christ-like. Have the courage to take on the armor of Christ. Have the courage to live like Christ and to see people like Christ sees them. Listen, if you're not a Christian and you're here today, if you're not a Christian, or maybe you're on the fence with this church and faith thing, I got to give you a heads up. If you're not sure about Christianity and you're watching for the first time, you need this. You need to know this. There's no way you can be a Christian privately. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't. You need to know this. You need to know what you're getting yourself into. The blood of the martyrs prove it. You can't be a Christian privately. It's who you are. And it affects your whole life. It affects your identity. It's who you are. There's no such thing as a private follower of Christ. The only reason why our society has been able to push that nonsense of your faith needs to be private is because for decades, our culture has been borrowing values from Christianity. So you kind of get lost in the crowd. But have no doubt, that's eroding, that's going away. And more, you're going to have to make a decision. You're either going to compromise your faith, compromise your belief, compromise your values, or you're going to need the courage to be Christ-like. You're going to need to do that. You're going to have to do that. And I mean Christ-like. I don't mean like the version of Christ that you see on CNN, okay? I mean actually Christ-like. You can't have Christianity without Christ. And you can't have Christ without discipleship. You just can't. And because of this, if you take Christ away from any culture, it begins to disintegrate. Those values that they try to hold on to, it just disintegrates. And that's what we see in our culture. You know, we once, at one point, not generally, but there was an idea that redemption is a good thing. But now we see redemption being valued less and less. We don't value a comeback story anymore. We actually, oh, you used to do that? Ooh, what? You said that? Like, how long ago? Oh, ooh, it doesn't matter who you are today. If you were bad 10 years ago, 20 years ago, you got to watch your back nowadays. What is that? It's our culture eroding. And if you're a follower of Christ, you can't go along with that. You got to understand that redemption is real. Forgiveness is real. Christ has called us out of darkness into light. Man, every single one of us, we have shame in our past. But we don't have to live in that shame. We don't have to hide from it. God has renewed us. We are a new creation. We are new creatures. Yes. Forgiveness is also going away. We're no longer value repentance. You know, we value getting even as a society. And that's not the way of Christ. You're going to have the courage to forgive. The courage to look at people and allow for them to repent. It's going to take courage to be Christ-like. And I'm telling you this firmly today. Because I believe that if you want your household to be different. If you want to shine the light of Christ at work today. In this season. If you want to follow Christ fully in 2021. And become who He has called you to be. Even if you're not a Christian yet. Even if you're here today, you know, because you want to get some strength in your heart. And you're still trying to decide. Listen, we're living in days where courage is needed. And courage does your soul good. When you take that step of courage. And you have the courage to have faith for what God is speaking to you. To have faith to have the courage to be you. When you have the courage to step into that next thing that God has for you and be Christ-like in that process, you will begin to see that it doesn't matter what happens in the world, God is with you and He blesses you through it. And if you do that, if you're going to follow God's plan for your life in 2021, if you're going to let go of the negative experiences and let go of what has the horrible things that happened in 2020 and make 2021 better, it's going to take courage. It takes courage to go upstream. It takes courage to be courageous. So let me encourage you to fight the good fight of faith. Let me encourage you to continue in this journey and to grow in 2021 because it will do your soul good. Do you receive it this morning? Amen. I want to call the worship team back.